From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we welcome you to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, this is Charles Kelch thanking you for being with us today. Dr. Cairns will be addressing an important issue facing God's people today in the hot topic of the day. In addition, we'll have some Christ-honoring sacred music. Then, Dr. Cairns will be bringing a portion of a message dealing with the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ from the fifth chapter of John's Gospel on the theme of the unknown Christ revealing himself at an unknown feast. First, however, Dr. Cairns will bring today's hot topic, which is pornography in the pulpit and in the pew.
According to Richard Land, president of the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, the flood of pornography in our culture has desensitized society and has contributed to the fact that our nation is wandering aimlessly in dangerous, uncharted territory. Consider the following report from the Southern Baptist Texan. Divorce lawyers are noting its increasing influence. In Great Britain, it's blamed for a 20% jump in sexual assaults perpetrated by kids as young as 11. In the United States, the adult film industry sees it as a $13 billion a year business, more money than mainstream Hollywood generates. The numbers are staggering. Up to 45 million unique users visited adult websites in a recent month, as tracked by Nielsen Net Ratings. With the advent of wireless handheld devices, porn is accessible via mobile phones and similar devices. Certainly, this is going to make it easier to view porn in more places than ever. Pamela Paul, author of Pornified, How Pornography is Transforming Our Lives, Our Relationships, and Our Families, told USA Today. America is swimming in the sewers of hell, and unless it changes course radically, it will be destroyed morally and spiritually. To realize what the devastating plague is doing to the nation is disheartening, but to realize that it is also in full flow in the churches is utterly devastating. God's church is supposed to be marked by purity. I know that on earth it is never perfect, and that it will suffer both from the incursion of hypocrites and from the partial obedience of even the best of Christians. But we have reached a place where churches are hardly less vulnerable to the influence of pornography than other societies. We have had high-profile cases of immorality and perversion involving prominent ministers of various denominations. So pornography and deviancy have found their way into our pulpits, and they have infected our pews. Many men sit in church trying to appear holy, who in the dark secrecy of their home or office make free use of the easy availability of internet pornography. They download salacious images. They begin to live in a fantasy world of illicit and immoral behavior. As a result, their thinking becomes perverted, their relationships crippled, their consciences seared, the sanctity and spiritual usefulness of their churches defiled, and the testimony of Christ dragged into the gutter. What's the answer? Many will turn at once to the well-tested method of forming a new organization or launching a new program to highlight the evils of pornography. The trouble is that this well-tested method has been a colossal failure. Christians live by faith, and faith fixes immediately on Christ. The only thing that can save our ministers and members from the poison of pornography is a vital fellowship with Christ that is enjoyed by a living faith in Him. The answer for the church must always be spiritual. It's time to face up to the problem. Quit excusing it as some sort of issue unique to our modern culture, a very overworked word. Make confession, obtain cleansing, and then live in the victory of faith. This is God's way. As 1 John 5 verse 4 says, "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." A faith that lives to appropriate all the power of Christ's death and resurrection.
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you have tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the program format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then we give you our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we'd be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's relatively easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Please don't forget the word radio. That's ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Nobody in all of Scripture other than Jesus Christ could do a miracle by the mere authority and power of His own will. That belongs uniquely to God. Do you notice how the Lord Jesus emphasizes? Do you remember when we looked at Matthew 8? The leper came and said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." What did Jesus do? He said, "I will. Be clean." And like that, he was clean. Merely by the power and the exercise of His will by the naked authority of His Word. The work was done. Giving life to the dead then, by His own will. That's the mark of God. Verse 22. The judgment of men and the administration of the kingdom. The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. I take judgment there both in the narrower and the broader senses. The idea of judgment as we normally conceive it, and the idea of the administration of the kingdom of God. It's in the hand of Christ. These things belong to the Son as the mediator, as the executor of the Godhead. Verse 23. What a statement. He's worthy of the same honor as the Father. That men, all men, should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Now let's understand this. For this is one of the most dramatic and far-reaching statements the Lord Jesus Christ ever made. This is a statement of equality. Such equality that He's saying, I am worthy of the very same honor that you give to God. You worship God, you worship me. And then He goes even further. And He said, if you do not honor me, you cannot honor God. Let's learn that. There's no such thing in this New Testament of mine as this modern rubbish, this heretical nonsense that even Christians are spouting nowadays, that somehow we get together all people of faith. They're even bringing out biological or biochemical or some other sort of reasoning behind this. There's now supposed to be a God gene in your brain. Let me back off for a minute. The more people get to understand about the human brain, the more they'll understand it can't function right unless it does acknowledge the God who created it. Not just a God gene, every gene in your whole system is a God gene. But the notion that we are fulfilling our destiny, as long as we believe in some God, it might be the conception, pantheistic conception of the Buddhists, it might be the God of Islam, it may be the God of the Jews, it may be the religion of somebody else, and somehow or other it'll all work out well in the end. We're all people of faith. My friend, let me tell you, if you do not honor Jesus Christ, you cannot honor God. That's not the opinion merely of some Bible-thumping fundamentalist. And I'm glad to be that. That's the statement of Jesus Christ. And the importance of acknowledging it, it comes out in verses 24 to 26, that He has all power to see Him. He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life. Notice what He says. He starts this. This is one of His verily, verilies. Again, let me mention a rabbit trail here without running up it. Verily, verily. That's one thing that modern translation should keep. Even the New King James says, most assuredly. Yuck. That's all I can say. Most assuredly. No doubt. You see, nobody in the New Testament says verily, verily, except Jesus Christ. Nobody. There are other people who will say verily, truly, amen. In other words, they're saying, I affirm this, assuredly I'm saying this. But verily, verily is uniquely the formula of Jesus Christ. And the importance of the formula comes up when you come to Revelation chapter 3, if my memory's right, about verse 14, when he says, I am the Amen. I'd be quite happy to have this translated, Amen, Amen. That's the word. What is the name of Jesus Christ? I am the Amen. When he introduces some great spiritual truth, he's doing so in his own authority. He's saying, Amen, Amen. What does it remind you of? What Paul writes to the Hebrews, God swore by himself because he could swear by none greater. That's what the Lord Jesus is doing here. That's what he's doing here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That's not the last resurrection, the great or first or second resurrection. That's not the resurrection at the end of time. He's saying the hour has arrived. Dead people are hearing my voice. Thank God that's still true. I was dead, but I heard the voice of Jesus command me to rise from the dead. And in giving the command, he gave the life. Every Christian here is a testimony that the dead have heard the voice, and they that hear shall live. Verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. That's a very deep text without trying to pursue it. At the very least, what it is saying is that as the Father has the power to originate life in the dead, so the Son, as the mediator, as the Savior, he has the power given him in himself to raise the dead. This is a divine honor, a divine prerogative. Then 28:29, he will raise the dead physically and he will judge them righteously. Not only does he raise the spiritually dead, he will raise the physically dead. And as the Father hath committed all judgment to him, he will judge them for heaven or for hell. I said John 5 records one of the deepest and fullest revelations of Christ, one of the deepest and fullest defenses that he ever gave of his own person and work. Verse 35 tells me clearly that this truth is necessary unto salvation. 36 and 37 make it clear that it's amply testified by the Father. Verse 40, and then starting at 46 into 47, make it clear that this is the truth that's set forth in all of Scripture. All this is objectively true, but now let me finish on a very personal and subjective note. Look at verse 38. Ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him ye believe not. If the word of God abides in you, you will receive Christ.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning,
and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.